I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. So this week's podcast is coming a little bit late. Bit later in the week than I had originally planned, but one of my philosophies is better late than never. Perfection is not required, and this plays into my whole belief about weight loss is you are going to lose weight without being perfect. You're going to keep it off without being perfect. And the way you lose the first 20 pounds without being perfect is the same way you're going to lose the next 20 pounds without being perfect. We just want to keep cleaning up little bits along the way. So we're going to keep getting 1% better. So this is me also showing up as a not perfect human and having really good intentions to record this on Wednesday. And here we are Friday, and I'm finally recording it. Anyways, today we are going to talk about non-scale victories, because this is something that we want to be making sure that we are focused on. There's a variety of reasons why this is important and really, I would say, essential. And I'm also going to give you examples of what some non-scale victories look like. And so the main reason, and one of the biggest reasons why I think focusing on victories and wins outside of just the scale, is that this keeps us focused on what is working and how we are improving and making progress. So it keeps us motivated. It keeps us winning and feeling proud. It helps us build momentum. And we're now looking at all the things that we are doing well. We're looking at all the ways in which we are succeeding. And we are no longer obsessing about the scale. And I think that's often where we can get hung up, is focusing on that number. And there can be anxiety, there can be dread. Sometimes that number will dictate our mood for the day or the week. It will often dictate what we can and can't eat, how much we have to do in the gym, how we have to restrict more, eat less, exercise harder, things like that. And so when we focus on non-scale victories, we're taking our eye off of this thing and we're really putting it into, are you creating a life that you love? And are you enjoying the process? Are you enjoying the journey? And this is the only way to achieve any goal. It's the only way you're going to be able to maintain that goal, is if you actually enjoy the process. And this is part of how we also can let go of the timeline. It plays into last week's episode and allows us to be willing to take our time, because we are seeing wins and victories and things along the way, and we're allowing ourselves to feel good. So we're not withholding praise until we have hit our weight loss goal or until we've lost all of the weight. So it's not, I don't get to feel good about myself. I don't get to talk nice to myself. I don't get to feel validated or proud. It's, I get to feel all of those things now. And that is ultimately what is going to create the result of weight loss. And so this helps us in creating that result. Because most of the time, we withhold the praise, we withhold the positive self-talk until we see it move, until we see it move enough. And so we end up with withholding what we crave and need the most, which is better self-talk. It's a better self-concept. And so we want to praise the progress. We want to praise all, like every step, all of the journey, and even recognize like even the mistakes, the missteps that we make, knowing that when we evaluate, when we figure out what happened, what we want to do differently next time, that still moves us closer to our goal. And so the result of weight loss is what comes last in the model. So if you think about thoughts, emotions, actions, results, the results is at the very bottom. It comes when we feel good, we feel proud, we feel motivated, we feel confident, we feel like we've got this, when we take the actions consistently that we want to take. And so when we look at praising the action, when we look at praising the steps, we feel better. We're now more likely to keep showing up and keep doing the things, because we're looking at the momentum. We're looking at what is working rather than just looking at the scale and deciding it's not working, or nothing is working, or I'm doomed to be living in this body forever, or things are just out of my control, right? I have no control. I have no power. And that has us feeling helpless. And then we're never going to show up the way that we want. And we're ultimately never going to create that result, because it's those thoughts that keep holding us back. That's the first piece, is we need to be enjoying the process. We need to be praising ourselves. We need to be looking at what is working. The other piece here is now, because of that, we're going to take our eye off the ball. We're going to take our eye off of the scale and focus on creating a life and a lifestyle that you actually enjoy and you can maintain. And I thought this was interesting because I noticed in the past when I had tried to lose weight and I was really focused on it, the scale wouldn't move, or it wouldn't move enough, or it wouldn't move consistently. And so I would get really frustrated and flustered. And then it was always, I have to do more. I have to keto harder and run more and eat less. And it just kind of kept me stuck versus the times when I was focused on the lifestyle. I was focused on maybe training for a race or spinning or trying new classes or doing different things. I took my eye off of the scale and then the scale came down. And it came down to the point where I was like, I remember this my senior year of college of thinking, I don't even know how I put on a pair of pants. And I was like, oh, these are actually big. I didn't even know how it happened, which also became a problem because then it was like, I didn't know how to maintain it. I didn't know what to do to keep going because of course that wasn't enough. And I always wanted to be smaller, as I shared, I think this was last week. But it's really about taking the eye off of the scale and really putting it onto, are you living a life that you love? Are you and doing an evaluation of like, where are you in your marriage? Where are you in your parenting, in your relationship with your kids? How do you feel about your career or your job? What's going on in your life and how can you improve that? And when we focus on creating more joy, pleasure, adventure, and filling our emotional needs with life and with things in life, people in life, we no longer look to food to be that primary source. So when food is no longer that primary source of joy and pleasure in your day, it's much easier to say no. It's much easier to stop it satisfied. It's much easier to negotiate with yourself like a lawyer instead of some hostage crisis situation. It's much easier to make decisions with your logical thinking higher self brain because you are getting and you're receiving those core desires, those core cravings for love, acceptance, peace, like community. We have all kinds of just different core cravings. And when we are giving ourselves those, sometimes it's like purpose, direction, feeling like you're living into your purpose. You're doing God's will. You're living into the vision that you have for your life. When you're doing those things and you're looking at the progress and you're seeing momentum, you're seeing, you know, yourself move further down the road, that feels amazing. That feels really good. So we no longer need food to be that joy. I'm no longer searching for my joy and pleasure and acceptance and peace and love at the bottom of a bag of chips, at the bottom of a bag of Oreos. I can now find it with my life. So one of the pieces, while we can still track the scale and we can track our weight and that can be a useful thing to track, we also want to be tracking other things. We'll get to that in just a sec though. The other thing I want to say here is that it's actually not about the goal weight, right? We're going to set a goal, but it's actually not about that number. Really what you're doing, that number represents how you think you're going to feel and how you think you're going to look at that weight. So let's say you weigh 200 pounds and you want to be 150 pounds. So you want to lose about 50 pounds. Maybe this is how you liked your body composition in the past. Maybe this is the number in which you think all your flaws or problem areas won't bother you or won't be as big of a deal. And be careful with this thought. This one's a little sneaky because it will still come up if you aren't also working on yourself and your body image and your peace and acceptance. If you keep thinking I have to change my body in order to love and accept it, we're never going to get there. That's coming. That's a future podcast. But maybe you think you'll like yourself more at this weight, or you'll talk nicer to yourself at this weight. Maybe you have experience talking nicer to yourself at this weight, or feeling like maybe, and it's easy to look back with rose-colored glasses and be like, oh, I'm going to like myself so much more when I'm 150 instead of 200. But when you actually honestly look back at when you were 150, I guarantee you were still talking shit to yourself. So we still need to clean up that internal game. But maybe you have more clothes that you like wearing at that weight or at that size. Maybe you're telling yourself you'll feel sexier at that weight, at that size. It's not about that number. That number doesn't mean anything because we can weigh that number and still nitpick and look at all of our flaws and still feel like we're not good enough. That number itself is arbitrary. But we need to praise and celebrate and validate every win as we're on the way to it and not withholding praise until we hit it. Because now we're trying to lose 50 pounds without praising and validating and celebrating. Like on those weeks when the scale stays the same, on those weeks when maybe the scale goes up a little bit, we need to be talking better to ourselves. not trash talking, not self-loathing, not throwing ourselves on under the bus, not saying, screw it, why bother, why keep going now? We need to stay focused and look at what is working. And when we focus on, okay, what is working, we can also look at, honestly, and with a lot of compassion and self-love, look at, okay, what's not working? What is getting in my way? What are the obstacles that I want to solve for? How can I show up better for myself? What is one obstacle and how can I solve for it? Or what do I know to be true about the weeks when I have lost weight? What was I doing? What was I thinking? How was I feeling? How do I recreate more of that? So we want to be celebrating and we want to be looking for wins and we want to be able to evaluate and assess so that we can create more of that. But we're going to praise every win, every victory, regardless of what the scale is doing. The scale could be up 2 pounds, but we still want to praise every bite left behind, every bottle of water consumed, every mile walked, every time you walked into the kitchen and you remembered to ask yourself, am I hungry? And every time the answer was no, you walked away and you left the kitchen without eating. Those are the things we need to be proud of. Because those are the things, those are the habits, those are the actions that will ultimately create the weight loss that you crave. And the biggest piece is often learning to love and accept your body now and down the scale, all the way down the scale. But we have to find a place of praise and love and acceptance for where we're at now. And I use this quote often. I ought to memorize who it's by. I can't remember. I think it was Carl Rogers. And he says, like, the great paradox of life is that it's not until I fully accepted something that I can then change it. I'm ad-libbing here. But it's like, until I have accepted it, I can't change it. And it's the great paradox, the great irony of the world, is that it's only once I've accepted it that then I can change it. And it feels hard. It feels frustrating. And then there's like fake acceptance. Oh, sure. Like, I'm going to quote accept it because I know that's what I need to do. But really, it's like fake acceptance. Again, like, this is coming later. This is like bits of what I've been thinking about and how to position it. And ultimately, it's, do you like yourself now? When we can really get to the heart of the matter and what most of us are trying to do, it's, I want to like myself more. I want to love myself more. And I think I am more likable, I'm more lovable, or I will love myself more. I will talk nicer to myself when the scale says this number, when this is my result. And why is that? Why is our self-talk so tied to that number? Why does my self-concept hinge on the number on the scale? This is the work that we need to do. And this is the mental game. This is the hard work. Your weight loss and maintaining your results, fuck all to do with burpees and running miles or marathons or whatever it is. This is where you're going to find results. This is the hard work, is that internal game. And first accepting and not lying to yourself and accepting where you're at right now of, yeah, no, I don't always like who I am. I am trying to cover it up. I am trying to make it better. I do think that there is better than here. And if I could just get there, things would be better. Then I would be nicer to myself. Then I would talk better. Then I would feel proud. Then I would feel accomplished. Then I would feel pretty. We got to flip it. And I'm going to tell you, this is still work that I do. It takes time. It's a process. It's not something you'll be doing for the rest of your life. But I'll just be real honest. This is the hard, deep work of, can I love myself? Can I love my body now at any size and in the midst of wanting to change it and in the process of changing it? They're not mutually exclusive. And I think this is where I differ a little bit from the typical standard body positivity language that I've heard, is it's okay. Like, you can still love your body and want to change it. You can love your body and be in the process of changing it. I can love my body now for where I'm at and what I've done and still be working on changing it. Just, I can love my spouse now and want to improve my marriage. I can love my kids now and want to improve my parenting and our relationship. I can love my job now and still want to improve it and improve my career. I can love my business now and still want to improve it and hit different goals. And it's but it can't come from this need, this scarcity, this drive, this urgency. I have to hurry up and get there so that I can feel better about myself. This is the importance of non-scale victories, is when I'm focused on all the wins along the way as the scale is going down, but even when it's going up or it's staying the same, I'm still focused on all the things and praising and validating what is working, what I am getting. So what are some non-scale victories? And I started off just making a list. I came up with a couple dozen. We want to start praising all the things. And I'm just going to give you, I think I have 20 or 21 here. And I'm going to go through. But there are so many places that it's working. So many ways we can see that it's working and we are doing well. And your job is to praise and validate yourself and not need it from somebody else. Not need it from the scale. Not need the praise and validation from the scale. Not need praise and validation from other people. But really doing that work for yourself and feeling just as good when somebody else says that they are proud of you or they think you're beautiful, like you are already telling yourself that. Okay, so examples. Taking half your food home from a restaurant, right? Like cutting your food in half or even eating half, pausing, waiting to see if you are still hungry and taking the rest home because you're done. You're like, you're satisfied, you're done. That's a win. Not cleaning your plate. That's a win. Willing to throw food away, even if it's just a couple bites. Yep, that's a win. Saying no to food because it's not really worth it to you. It's not an 8 out of 10 or better. Not eating all the bread or chips at a restaurant because you're either going to make sure that you have enough room for dinner or you're not eating past satisfied after dinner. Right? Leaving 2 bites behind at meals. Noticing you overate by a few bites instead of a whole nother serving. That's a win. Right? Even when you are overeating and emotionally eating, you can still be winning. Catching your emotional eating as you're doing it. Doing a discovery worksheet after you overeat to better understand why you ate instead of trying to ignore it and falling back into the same restriction or just try harder mode. Listening to your body and waiting for hunger instead of eating because everybody else is eating or because it's free or because they made this just for you. Going for a walk or to a class. You don't really feel like it in the moment, but you're going to feel good afterwards. It's going to feel better when you're done. Forgetting you bought cookies 3 days ago and finding them in your gym bag. Yep, did that one last week. Or maybe forget that you stuck chocolate in your pocket or your purse and you find it days later, weeks later. I think I've told this story on the podcast before. Back when I lived in North Carolina, I was going from the kitchen. I probably grabbed a couple pieces of Dove chocolate, those little like squares, stuck them in my pocket. I probably had one or two. And ended up with one that was left in my pocket. Totally forgot about it because I'm just not thinking about the food as much anymore. It's no longer this obsession. So it is something that I can forget about. And so I went to the chiropractor and I start face down and she does some like massage work, does my back. She has me flip over. We're doing some hip work and she pushes her fingers into my hip a little bit to do some like active release technique. And it's a little gooey because the chocolate has now melted in my pocket because I forgot it was there. Or I'll put on a sweatshirt or a jacket or something. And I'm like, oh, I've got chocolate or a snack or like fruit snacks in my pocket here. I went to the movie theater last Saturday. So it's been almost a week. I'm pretty sure the fruit snacks are still in my jean jacket pocket. There's still snacks in the pocket. And I totally forgot about it. I put it on Tuesday and I found them and I was like, these are here. Or I threw some chocolate in my purse a couple weeks ago and all 3 pieces still there. Those are wins. And I want you to imagine what it's like to be in a world, to live in a life, to live in a body, to live at peace and ease with food where you forget about it, where it's not that big of a deal, where the intention is usually to eat it, but it's okay if you don't eat it all. I bought Girl Scout cookies in February, I'm pretty sure, and then I found them up in a cabinet in April when I was searching for paper towels. Samoa cookies that are my absolute favorite, they're still up here. Oh, I forgot about those. I think there was probably one missing. I forgot about it for months. And it was easy, not because I'm hiding it, because you can hide food. And I think this is really important because I've hidden food from myself, but I know exactly where it is, right? When we are obsessed and constantly thinking about food, that's when we need somebody else to hide it And even then, we will still go searching for it when you're still thinking and consumed with food. And that is your release. It's your relief. It's your sense of joy and pleasure. Like when that's the primary source, you'll go through measures to get it. But this is, I think, one of the biggest pieces and biggest changes that I've noticed in myself. And when that happens, how fun that is, how relaxing that is a non-scale victory. And that is a sign, a huge sign that your relationship with food is changing. And when your relationship with food changes, your weight will inevitably change too. But we've got to start first with that relationship with food. Okay, back to my list here. Splitting a meal or dessert with a friend, maybe one of your kids, a spouse. So going into it with the intention of, hey, let's split this. I'm not going to eat a whole dessert, but do you want to split this, piece of cheesecake with me? Seeing the scale as just a number and data and no longer feeling anxious as you step on. No longer letting the scale dictate your mood or habits for the day. That's a non-scale victory right there, even though it's related to the scale. It's no matter what this number says, I'm still going to talk nice to myself. I'm still going to feel good about myself. I'm still going to follow through. I'm not going to try to restrict if it's up too much. I'm also not going to give myself to eat if it has gone down. No matter what, I'm going to evaluate. And this is, the scale is a big, I would say, it's a lot of emotions hinge on the scale for many people. I tend to work mostly with women, but I do have some male clients where the scale does the exact same thing. And this is where we really have to take back. Hey, I don't really love this phrase of take back your power, but we don't want to give the scale so much power over our mood and over our day. I feel like there was something else I was going to say. Lost my train of thought. It's fine. We're going to keep going. So you enjoy the exercise you do instead of using exercise as punishment to make up for what you ate. That's a victory. That's a win. Pulling on a pair of shorts you haven't worn in 2 summers. Noticing your shirt fits looser around the waist. Even if the number on the scale has not changed at all because your body composition is changing. You're able to tighten your belt one more notch. You notice you don't, or even just noticing, you don't think about food so much. It's not this constant thing. You live more in the moment and you enjoy the people that you're with. Instead of always thinking about what you can and can't eat or when's the next meal or are you burning enough calories or how are you going to fit in this exercise for the day? No longer caring where you eat and what restaurant you go to because you're no longer consumed or obsessed with food. And the bulk of your mental energy is going to enjoying your company. It's enjoying the people that you're with. It's enjoying the conversation. And the focus is no longer on the food and what you're eating or what's on the menu. And this was a huge one for me. This is something that I actually pointed out. I was on a date last week and we were at a burger place, one of my favorites. And I ordered a burger and sweet potato fries because that's what I was in the mood for. And they have a side of broccoli. You could do a side salad. You could do a burger in a lettuce wrap. So there were ways that I could have adjusted my meal. And in the past, I probably would have done the burger with the lettuce wrap. And then I would have done broccoli or a salad. Even if I really wanted the sweet potato fries, I would have told myself, nope, I can't. I'm not allowed. I need to eat low carb. Or I should be eating this. I should be avoiding that. But as I thought about it, I was like, I'm really in the mood for sweet potato fries, so I'm going to order those. And I really like these burgers, but I also know I only eat half. And really, honestly, half a burger with a little bit of a side is enough food for me. That's plenty. So I didn't get the lettuce wrap because I knew when I take that half a burger home, it's going to be all wonky. I'll do a lettuce wrap if I know I can split the burger with somebody. That makes it a little bit easier. But I told him too, I was like, I never would have done this 5-6 years ago. I never would have been excited to come to a burger place. I wouldn't have ordered the fries. I wouldn't have ordered a burger with the bread. I would have told myself I wasn't allowed. I can't. I would have gone with something healthier, like a healthier option. And I do like broccoli. I do like salads. But I was so focused and so obsessed with what I could and couldn't eat. And the sad part is I probably would have been overeating. I would have overeaten the burger or I would have overeaten with the side. Or because I wasn't getting in enough carbs, I was full but not feeling satisfied with what I was eating. So I would have been eating more, snacking more, consuming more than what my body truly needs. And the freedom now that there is, because it's no longer about the food. When I go out with girlfriends, when I go out on a date, or even just going out to eat for lunch or whatever, for the last 4 years, it has not been about the food. I didn't care where we went. It really didn't matter. I could find something to eat at any restaurant. And if I wasn't fully satisfied, that's okay. And I could always eat after if I really didn't find anything that I like. And even if I'm not hungry, it doesn't matter because I'm there for the company. I'm there for the conversation. I'm there to talk and to have fun. And so going out is fun because of the people. It's no longer fun because of the food. I've really retrained my brain around this concept of food is fun to people are fun. I am fun. I make my own fun. Not with food. I can still enjoy my food and like what I'm eating, but it's not the highlight. It's not the main focus. It's having that freedom to be able to eat food that you like, try something new, enjoy it. That felt so good. And I was also very aware and in tune with my body of, am I hungry? Have I had enough? And I was also thinking, the more I save now, the more I get to enjoy later. This is what it's all about. It's about celebrating the wins and celebrating everything that's happening. After Caleb was born, about 4 or 5 months after, I noticed I had a shirt that had fit differently. I had bought it right after he was born, maybe like a couple weeks after, and it was pretty tight. And then I put it on a few months later, and it was now loose. And my weight had not changed. My weight did not change those first 6 months postpartum. I dropped 20 pounds of the baby weight the first week after the baby, and then this extra 5-6 pounds just hung around for months. But my composition was changing, and I was getting back into exercise and getting back into lifting weights and body pump and different things like that. So it's not just about the scale. We can still feel good about how we look, how we feel in our bodies, how we're sleeping, what our energy levels are like. A win would be no longer needing 4 cups of coffee before noon to get you through your day because you actually feel like you have energy. Being able to swap out your coffee in the morning for decaf just because you like the tradition and routine of drinking coffee, but not actually needing the caffeine. Those are wins because it's not just about the scale. I want you to think about how would this impact your life? If you never cared what restaurant you ate at, if you never worried about what was on the menu, if you only ate when you were physically hungry and you stopped eating as soon as you were satisfied, if you never felt fear or lack or like you were missing out around food, if you never felt intense food cravings and urges, if you could pass by buffets and fast food restaurants and not feel tempted, if you could buy cookies and forget about them for weeks, what would be different about your life experience? What would you be doing if your brain wasn't constantly thinking about food? Your life becomes so much more fun and enjoyable and wonderful when that happens. And that's exactly what I help people do, is to feel in control around food, to end the war with food, and to feel amazing in their bodies. And to really retrain and rewire all of those habits, all of those beliefs, all of the things around food that really often are ingrained from a very young age. This is the work. And if you want some help with this is the reality that you want to make yours, then I would love to chat. You can schedule your free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule and find a day and time on my calendar, and we'll spend 1 hour really dissecting and going over where are you now, where do you want to be, and I'll help you bridge that gap so that you can see what the steps are, what the process is. It's all about healing our relationship with food, feeling at ease around it, feeling in control around it, raising the progress and the success and the wins that we see outside of the scale. It's that initial work that is going to create the weight loss that you desire. I hope you'll have a fabulous weekend. I will be back next week with some more, but this is your work. What can you do today? I want to challenge you. What wins can you already see today? What wins can you celebrate from this week? Are you willing to start practicing and feeling proud of yourself now as you're on your way to the goal, regardless of what the scale is doing? All right, here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.